Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Hebrews. We've been studying through this book, and we're gonna continue where we left off. We may jump a couple verses and emphasize some things about Sarah today. So while you're turning, I just want to remind you that we have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married, some have been married for a long time, some just got married, some have kids, some don't have kids. But many here today and many watching are believers in Jesus Christ, but not all. But we're all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Let's say it again. Jesus is wonderful. You are in an impossible situation, you may say. Well, today we're going to talk about somebody that faced an impossible situation. We're into the Hall of Faith in chapter 11. This is Hebrews chapter 11. And last week we talked about Abel. Abel demonstrates to us how we ought to worship. We talked about Enoch. We talked about that Enoch shows us how we ought to please God. The Bible says he pleased the Lord. We talked about Noah. Noah built the ark, and we learned how we should live when we walk by faith. But what if you face an impossible situation? Something so difficult that God is going to have to show up powerfully, miraculously, to make it happen. We're going to talk about a couple that had an impossible situation in Scripture. They actually had God give them a promise, but it was not coming to pass. Maybe you have this type of situation that you're facing. I'm praying that as we look at this passage, it may give some strength and some help for us as we study God's Word. I want you to look in your copy of God's Word at Hebrews chapter 11, and I like to read verses 11 through 13, and I'll read it from my copy of God's Word. You follow along in your copy of God's Word. This is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. All right. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithfully who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and it's referring to Abraham, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now hold your place in Hebrews chapter 11, and I want you to go all the way back to the first book of the Bible. Go all the way back to Genesis, the 12th chapter. Genesis chapter 12, we realize that God called Abraham. Today I'd like to look at the life of Sarah, it being Mother's Day. Actually, our verse we were on was verse 8, and we'll go back and read that in chapter 11 of Hebrews is the verse we actually picking up with. But just when you skip over just a few, you get to the name Sarah. And be it Mother's Day, I want to emphasize Sarah. But as we think about what happened in Abraham and Sarah's life, you read in Genesis chapter 12 what God said to Abram. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord hath said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And then it gives the Old Testament Great Commission. This is the first time we see this in the Old Testament as it is stated this way. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, I want you to imagine that Abraham comes home one day and he says to Sarah, he says, oh, we're moving. God says we need to move. And she says, well, we've kind of had to do that before a little bit, so I guess I can do it. Where are we going? I don't know. That's exactly what happened when the Lord called Abram to leave, and eventually he came to Canaan. So as we think about Sarah, and we think about Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and following, and as we think about Genesis and the story of Sarah and Abraham, there are four things I want to draw your attention to, because when you have an impossible situation, you need to look to Jesus, because all things are possible. That's the title of today's message. Look to Jesus, because all things are possible in him. Here's the first thing I want to highlight. All things are possible when we follow God's call. Now go back to the book of Hebrews. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 8, it says this about Abraham. It says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. And then if you look at verse 11, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And so you find both of these talked about in this chapter of the heroes of faith, all right? So they face an impossible situation. But the thing I want you to think about Sarah is that all things are possible when we follow God's call. The Lord called them to go. And he said to them, I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to have a baby, and in that baby, a nation will come. Well, they didn't see it happening. Now, in verse 8, it says, he obeyed when he was called. It actually literally means in verse 8, when he was being called. In other words, Abraham was so willing to obey the Lord that actually when he was being called, it's not like it was even over. Abraham was willing to go, okay? Now, the truth is, in Genesis 12:1, that Sarah was with him and followed him, and the commitment that we see in her is the commitment to stick with what God says, to stick with Abraham and to stick with him wherever the Lord led them to go. I think about counting the cost of following the Lord. You know, impossible things can happen in our lives when we're willing to follow God's call. We're willing to do what the Lord has called us to do. But when we back off and we say, no, God, that's not exactly what I was expecting, all of a sudden we dry up the impossibilities from happening, because the Lord blesses those who count the cost. I think about that passage in Luke chapter 14 that says that if you want to build a tower, what do? You count the cost. You lay it all out and you figure out, what is this going to cost me to build this thing? And if you don't have the resources to do it, you don't get started, because if you get started and you don't get it finished, it becomes an eyesore and people say, well, that guy tried to start that project and he never finished it. Listen, as we follow Jesus Christ, we should count the cost. Are we going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? It talks about going to war in Luke chapter 14. It said, if you're ready for battle, you count the cost. What might this cost me? Well, Abraham and Sarah had to do that same thing, and they were committed. They were committed, although we're going to learn a little bit about Sarah. She was somewhat doubtful, but they followed the Lord's call when he said to go. I think about the commitment that Sarah made to Abraham. I think about the commitment that Adoniram Judson called for in his wife When he first met her, he fell in love with her, and Judson was the first Baptist missionary from America to go overseas. And so he wanted to go to Burma. And so he met his bride-to-be, and he asked her if she would marry him, and she said something very wise. She said, "If you want to marry me, you have to ask my father." And so here's a copy of the letter where this dad had to count the cost of am I going to let this bride marry this guy that's going to be a missionary? Here's what the letter said. "I now have to ask whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring to see her no more in this world." That's what he said. I don't know if Mr. Brannon would have been happy about that if I'd used those words. I want you to let me marry Kelly. You'll never see her again. That's what Judson said to this man. He said, "Whether you can consent to her departure and her subjection to the hardships and sufferings of a missionary life, whether you can consent to her exposure to the dangers of the ocean, to the fatal influence of the southern climate of India, to every kind of want and distress, to degradation, insult, persecution, and perhaps a violent death. Can you consent to all of this for the sake of him who left his heavenly home and died for her and for you, for the sake of perishing immortal souls, for the sake of Zion and the glory of God?" And it goes on and on. And so Adoniram Judson sent that letter to his future father-in-law. And the account that I read is the dad went to his daughter and said, "What do you think?" She said, "I'm willing." And he gave his consent. And they left. But what did they do? They counted the cost. And folks, we've got to do that. Moms have to do that. Dads have to do that. To be a follower of Jesus and to see the impossible. What was the impossible? The impossible for Sarah was that God had promised that she was going to bear a child by Abraham that was going to be a great nation, and she was past childbearing age. Matter of fact, there's several passages where they laughed when the Lord told them that. They thought, "You got to be kidding me. This is a joke, right?" And they were laughing, and yet the truth of the matter is, until we're willing to follow God's will in the things that he tells us to do, we won't see the impossible things happen. So one thing is this: all things are possible when we follow God's call. And we saw that in Genesis 12 in Abraham and Sarah's life. Now, here's the second thing I want you to think about. All things are possible even to those who once doubted. Even to those who once doubted. And in Genesis chapter 16, Sarah suggests, instead of her waiting on the promise of God — we're not going to read that passage, but in that passage, you can go back and read it — instead of waiting on the promise of God, she decides that she's going to give her maidservant to Abraham so that he can father a child. She's trying to help God along in fulfilling this promise. She says, I don't see it happening with me. And so here we come into someone who was doubting what God may do. Have you ever doubted that the Lord may want to use you? Have you ever doubted the promise of God? Have you ever been in a situation you wonder, "Lord, I know what your will is here, but I don't see it happening," and you begin to doubt? Can I tell you this? Even to those who doubt, God can turn your situation around, that all things will be possible to those even who have once doubted. Now listen, from Genesis 12 to Genesis 17, no less than 5 times has Sarah heard God say to Abraham, "I'm making a covenant with you, and I'm going to give you a son." And so it was like a broken record. She kept hearing it, but nothing happened. And so it didn't happen. And so anyway, there was reason there for her to be doubtful, all right? In Genesis chapter 17, go back to that. I want you to see this. In Genesis, turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 17, all right? And I want you to look at verse 16, Genesis 17, and this is verse 16. God says, "And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. This is one of the occasions where Abraham laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" Look at verse 19. Then God said, "No, Sarah, your wife." That is the first time we see God use Sarah's name in this particular promise. God is saying, I make no mistake about it, Sarah is going to do this. "Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him." Okay? So, she was past the age. She was 90. And he used her name in that promise. All right? Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, go back there. We're going to be kind of flipping a little bit Genesis and Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, you see where it says, "By faith Sarah herself," you see that herself in your text? "By faith Sarah herself." That is a way that the Greek language emphasized she was someone who had been weak in faith, but now she was strong in faith. Something happened where Sarah all of a sudden had been a doubter. She had been a doubter, and all of a sudden now she is going to begin to trust in the Lord and realize, God used my name. Actually, the Lord changed her name. He actually changed her name. And in contrast with her weak faith early on, where she had given Abraham her maidservant, all of a sudden it says in verse 11 of our passage, that Sarah herself, contrasting that weak faith, it says that she also received strength to conceive seed. And so all of a sudden the Lord blessed, because even though she was a doubter. Now, sometimes, church family, how do we apply this to our lives? You think about waiting. It's not just always, I know today's Mother's Day, we're talking about Sarah and her having this baby, but as we think about it, there's other things we're waiting on. You know, waiting is tough. Elizabeth George, Kelly had a book by Elizabeth George. Some of you ladies recognize that name. Great, great author. She gives some reasons and some blessings for waiting. I thought these were good. Here's blessing number one: when you have to wait. Nobody likes to. We don't like to wait in life, do we? Man, I like sticking stuff in a microwave and it's ready. And I'm upset that it's over a minute. I mean, you know, I have that minute button. I love sticking in there, touch one button, boom, it goes, and it's a minute before you turn around, it's ready. If I have to do something longer, I'm not even happy waiting when it's microwave more than a minute. We don't like to wait, but there are blessings to waiting. Here's what Elizabeth George said. Number one, it's increased value. Waiting increases the value and importance of the thing waited for. Think about it. God has given you a promise. God has given you a direction in life, and you don't see it happening quite yet. God is moving in you in a character area that you want to see change, and you know God wants it changed, and yet you don't see it quite happening as fast. Waiting increases the value and importance of the thing waited for. Deliverance from suffering, the discovery of God's purposes, direction for your confused life, a home at last, a wedding day, a family reunion, a prodigal's return, or a child's birth. Waiting makes the desired object a greater treasure once it's received. I love that. So one of the blessings of waiting, this is what Sarah had to put up with, was increased value. Here's a second blessing: increased time. No one has enough time, but the one who waits is given the precious gift of time. Time to embrace life circumstances. Time to press closer to God's loving and understanding heart. Time to grow in the hard-won grace of patience. Waiting produces patience. So that's another blessing of having to wait. She was a doubter. She heard God say, you know, I'm going to do this, and yet for 25 years, she didn't see anything happen. Do you have something you're praying about in your life that you haven't seen happen? Then you need to remember that God gives a measure of waiting, and that is a blessing. Here's the third blessing of waiting: increased faith. The saints in chapter 11 of Hebrews have their faith increased by waiting. Faith grows and is strengthened through time. So, folks, the bottom line is this. Even to those of us, and let's all be honest, we've doubted the things the Lord wants us to do. We've been in times of suffering, times of difficulty, and sometimes waiting is not always easy. Let's be honest, we've been there. But here's the lesson from the life of Sarah. All things are possible, even to those who once doubted, even to those who found it difficult to wait, all right? Here's the third thing. Not only are all things possible when we follow God's call, all things possible even to those who once doubted. Here's the third one. All things are possible because God keeps his promise. In Genesis chapter 17, verse 15, God changed her name from Sarai, S-A-R-A-I, to Sarah, S-A-R-A-H. Sarai has the idea of contention. The word Sarah means a woman of godly faith. God changed her name from a name that meant contention to a name that meant a woman of godly faith. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 9, it says, "Then they said to him, 'Where is Sarah, your wife?' And so he said, 'Here in the tent.' And he said, 'I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son.' Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in years, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, 'After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?'" Verse 13 says of Genesis 18, "And the Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh, saying, "Surely shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?'" So in that passage of Scripture, God is speaking to Abraham. He heard Sarah laugh, but then he said to Abraham, he said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And so the bottom line is, when God gives us a promise, ladies and gentlemen, listen, we've learned in the book of Hebrews, we've learned that our hope is in Christ, and he is the anchor of our soul, right? And we learned that the anchor holds. Paul is trying to say to these Hebrews in this that he's writing to, the author is trying, I don't know that Paul wrote it, the author is trying to say to those Hebrews, he's trying to say, look, you're wavering in your faith. Let me tell you something. God's promises are sure. God's promises are true. And so God had given this promise to Sarah. She laughed about it. And God said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" I don't know what it is you face. Deliverance from a tough situation. Witnessing to a family member. Maybe a prodigal who needs to come home. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. The Lord can do it. And so here's what happened. Eventually, in Genesis chapter 21, we won't read it all, but the Lord visited Sarah and she had Isaac. And God blessed because of that promise that the Lord kept. And so he keeps his promises. Now, here's the fourth thing. Not only are all things possible when we follow God's call, not only are all things possible even to those who once doubted, not only are all things possible because God keeps his promises, but here's the fourth thing. You can impact generations. All things are possible because you can impact by your faith in him generations. So what ended up happening, it says in Hebrews 11:12, "Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Now, I don't know why in this particular text, you know, because he said in verse 11, by faith Sarah, so he gives Sarah, he gives her time in this passage of Scripture talking about her faith, because she herself, it says, emphasizing that she was once weak in faith and now she wasn't, she also received the strength to conceive. And then in verse 12 it says, therefore from one man, and it could have said one man and wife, Sarah, could have mentioned her there, but in this particular text it just says from one man, talking about Abraham, because that was the way the promise was given. Remember, this was a section about Abraham. I don't know why he just mentioned Abraham there and didn't mention Sarah, because she was a part of what God had done. It reminds me of what my kids used to say. I don't know if you've ever heard this before. Kids used to tell people, they said, yeah, dad's the head, but mom's the neck that turns the head. It's true, isn't it? George and Laura Bush were driving in their limousine with the Secret Service. They had to pull into a gas station in Midland, Texas. And they pulled in there, and Laura saw a high school friend. It was actually a guy that she knew in high school, and he was the owner of that service station. And so she got out and talked to him. Of course, the president stayed in the car, and Secret Service buzzing all around and everything, and so she got out and talked to the guy, and she got back in the car, and she said, and George said, well, who was that? So that was a friend of mine from high school. He said to her, just think, if you would have married him, you would be his wife, the owner of a gas station. She said, no, if I'd have married him, he'd have been president. Ladies, let me just say to the moms, and by the way, do you know that one of the greatest gifts of all is, of course, the gift of being a mom and influencing your children, but it's greater than that in the sense of influencing others, discipling them to know Jesus. I had a lot of ladies in my life when I was a youngster that poured into my life. They were not my mother. We have spiritual mothers. I would say to everyone in here, all the ladies, become a spiritual mom. Pour in to those around you and make an impact as you can in those around you spiritually. It's not only physical moms that make that kind of impact, but we know that the impact is there. You know, when we impact children, it's just a powerful, powerful thing. All things are possible when we follow God's call, even to those who once doubted, because we know God keeps his promises, and you can literally impact generations. Isaac, and out of Isaac was Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, and the rest is history. Because, by faith, Sarah herself, in verse 11. You know, Augustine, the great thinker, the great apologist, the great theologian. He was a 4th century scholar who is considered one of the greatest thinkers of all time. He was born under Roman rule in what is now Algeria. His Christian mother, Monica, was married to a pagan who was immoral. At 23, she had her firstborn, Augustine, and she dedicated her life to raising him as a Christian. She won her husband to Christ just before his death, and her mother-in-law as well. Augustine was 17 when his father died, and his mother, Monica, prayed for him. He went to the University of Carthage, and he went for carnal pleasures. There was a great movement of immorality in Carthage, and that's why he wanted to go there. But eventually, the prayers of that mom won out, and Augustine gave his life to Christ. And when Augustine came to faith, his mother said, "My work is done." And 1 week later, she died. Here's what Augustine wrote in his prayer. He said, "My mother, your faithful servant, wept to you for me, shedding more tears for my spiritual death than others shed for the bodily death of a son. God, you heard her." Amy Carmichael was born in 1867, the oldest of seven in Northern Ireland. Her family prayed daily and read the scriptures. Amy's mother, Catherine, taught her children to pray, and she taught them the value of small acts of kindness. They lost everything when Amy's father died. In 1892, Amy felt God's calling to go to India. By the way, we need to pray for India. India's got a terrible situation that they're in with COVID right now. It's heartbreaking. But Amy wanted to go to India. The Lord said, "Go ye." And though sad to see her daughter leave, Catherine wrote God, and she wrote in her note, she said, "God has lent you to me all these years. I can trust you to him, and I do. Go ye." The founder of our country, George Washington, you know, his father died when he was 11 years old. I didn't realize that. George Washington's dad died when he was 11. But his mother, Mary Ball Washington, molded his character with Bible reading and the book entitled Contemplations, Moral and Divine by Sir Matthew Hale. Here's what Washington later wrote about his mom, quote, "All that I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." Now, your situation may not be that way with your mom, and I pray that it is, but it may not be. But I can tell you this, you can impact others by mentoring and loving others and little ones as well. And we have that testimony in this fellowship of folks that have impacted so many in the life of this fellowship. So the truth of the matter is this, what is it you're facing? The message that Sarah is saying to us today is this, no matter what it is, all things are possible. Look to Jesus, trust him, because his promises are sure, his anchor holds, he will never let you down. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.